when we serve the Lord, he begins to, when we walk with the Lord, he begins to give us a deeper vision than just ourselves for things that he wants us to do. Might seem little to some, but everything is big to God. Everything, anything God is asking a person to do is not small. You know, it might start off small in the natural, but the Bible says don't be discouraged in small beginnings. And but we've come to a place to where we're making an impact around the world. Number one, with the Word of God, it's uploaded on that internet. Y'all do it. We're word senders. We're sending the word of the Lord all over the planet. You know, it's even going into Russia and all these places. You know, there's really not a lot of bad people there. You know, but they're hearing the gospel. It goes into Israel and United Kingdom, Iran. I mean, we're reaching India and all of those places. But it's because of one thing, and really it's Jesus. But it's because of love. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he does love lost people. He loves our enemies, you know. I mean, all creation's created the image and likeness of God. Everybody just don't belong to the Lord right now. They're, you know, some of them serving Satan and all that, but that's our mission, is to preach this gospel, that people will hear the gospel and get born again. And after that, we make disciples, we train. And that's what the teaching of the Word of God, the ministering, your teachers and all of that does, you know. And a lot of times people, if just God's people in general, not just here, realize the sacrifices that leaders and people that, you know, labor for them to make their road easier, if they realize that, they might be more committed to the Lord and the things of the Lord, you know. But our walk with the Lord shows our love for God. When we walk with the Lord and we're obedient to the Lord, and all of our sacrifices are not sacrifices of just, it's our sacrifice of love to the Lord. He loved us, therefore we love him, and he spared us. But if I was going to title the sermon tonight, it would be love on purpose. You got to love on purpose. How many knows that? I mean, I never had a concept. I went to church on and off, and, you know, mom and them would go to church every now and then. Then when I did go to church for 5 or 6 months, I never really, I didn't know that after you're born again, which I wasn't born again then, but I got born again later. They told me I was, you know. They just tried to lead me into Teresa to Jesus, and we just really did it to get them off our back. And we went to church about 5 or 6 months. How many knows you can't do this Jesus thing without him? I mean, you got to have him on the inside walking with you to where, you know, Christianity is not boring. You know, it's never been boring to me when I go after the Lord, never. I mean, you know, trials and things like that, when you get your eyes off of the one that saved you and redeemed you, they can get you down and depressed and all of that. But if I'm going after the Lord, there's something on the inside of me that stays stirred, you know. I mean, I might not feel goosebumps, but it's love, you know. But I didn't have a concept of the love of God. I didn't know that love came on the inside of me after I got born again, till I went to a revival and he was preaching, the minister, that whole revival was preaching on love can't be offended, you know. And I just wasn't really into it, you know, although I was going. I just really, you know, but along about the second or third night of it, see, what happens is your flesh can't receive the things of God. The Bible says flesh receiveth not the things of God, but it's by the Spirit. And so I was submitting myself by going to the anointed word. And that anointed word was getting in me, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know that it was stirring what had been placed in me. I'm going to give you scripture for what I'm saying. Go ahead and bet that Romans 5:5. It was stirring what was on the inside of me. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, Paul says, Romans 5:5, because the love of God is poured out, one translation says, poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that week, I realized that God had came on the inside of me. I know the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, but the Bible says God is love. God is love. Now, I'm not talking about a natural love. See, a natural love will run out if somebody does you wrong over and over and over and over. I mean, it'll run out to where, you know, it comes to an end and you're like, that's it. I mean, that's it. But the love of God, I'm going to prove it to you by Scripture, and I've walked it out myself and still develop it, trying to develop it now, the love of God. But I realized about midweek of that revival, something happened to me. And when I left there, I felt like I loved everybody. I mean, I felt like I loved everybody, you know. And that was that love I was letting come alive through realizing it, number one, that it was in me. And number two, hearing the word on examples of what I could do, you know, to activate and build, let that love build. The Bible says perfected love casteth out fear because fear has torment. Perfected love, matured love, developed love. And this just don't happen. A lady come up for prayer one time. She said, brother, could you pray for me that I would have more love? I said, I can't pray for you that. I said, it's in you. I said, I'm going to pray that God will help you yield to it. God will help you yield to it. She was wanting God just to zap her where she wouldn't get mad at this person anymore and fly off the handle at this person and all of that stuff, you know. And I had tried that without walking in love, and I just couldn't do it myself. But I told her, I said, no. I said, I'm going to pray that God will strengthen you in your inner man by his Spirit. That's what Paul prayed in there to the Philippians, you know, that you would be strengthened by his power in your inner man. And so anyways, it was coming alive to me that love was a choice. See, me and you have to, the devil don't want us walking in love. If everybody in the church, not just this church, I'm talking about even born again, if every Christian walks in love and develops in love, there will be no division in the body. It would do away with division. It would do away with all kinds of stuff, you know, that could happen. And I'm believing. The Bible says it doeth not appear what we shall be, but when he comes, talking about Jesus, we're going to be like him. He says, for we're going to see him as he is. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, if you don't walk in love, he said, you can be setting in and hearing revelation, but you won't get it. He said, love opens the door to faith. Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. Satan does not want us to walk in the love of God. So Satan does not want us to develop the love of God. Satan does not want us to be merciful to the sinners, merciful to those that steal from us, those that abuse us, those that use us. You know, because one thing love does, love has mercy. Love gives out mercy. You can't help it. Jesus was moved with compassion, the Bible says, at different times in the Bible. He was moved by that love. And so Satan don't want you walking in love. He wants you bitter at your family members. He wants you bitter at people at church. He wants you bitter at other denominations that don't quite get along with what you think and this and that. He don't want you walking in love. The Bible says that is how men will know that we're his disciples, that we have love one for another. That we walk in love towards one another. That's how the world's going to see that we're the disciples of the Lord. Now other things will happen because of that. I mean, faith will work, you know. I mean, you know, everything hinges on love. Your gifts, your talents, your revelation, your strength, your joy, your peace. But we got to love. The Lord told me, he said, you chose to love on purpose. He said, I would tell you, love your enemies. He said, and you didn't want to do it. He said, you didn't like it. You didn't like that. He said, I was challenging your carnal man. I was challenging your old nature that you still had with love. He said, I was trying to kill the old man. How many knows the Bible says, put on the new man? Put on the new man. We put him on. But we gotta love on purpose, you know. I remember after I got born again. Now, if somebody had just shot me in the head, I'd just fall over, Mac. I thought I was invincible, you know, man. not thinking of no consequences and all that. Dumb. Just dumb, you know. And so I would lash out at people and, just like the devil. I was just like the devil. But I was angry. I was bound up. I was tormented. All these things, you know, was in me that caused me to lash out the way that I lashed out. I didn't respect no kind of authority, parents, nothing, you know. Well, this came on the inside of me, love did. And then I started thinking, well, you know, man, I gotta respect my boss. I gotta work and be the best I can be. I started reading the Bible. And because I was letting love, I was choosing to walk in love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, what I was doing when I would read, let a man that steal no more, and because that love was in me, it made me not want to do that no more. See, it was like, and then I had to make a choice. There was still opportunities to do what I used to do, you know, but I started making choices. And you know what? Right off the bat, it was like I started having revelations about this and about the enemy and how he was stripped. And I believe it was because God got that to me on love to begin with. And I made up my mind. I told the Lord, I really didn't respect my father. And he was gone, done dead. I said, but my mom's still alive, Lord. And your word says to honor my mother and father. And this is the first command with promise. It's commanded. It's not if we want to, if they're good, if they're, you know. And so I told him, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to honor my mother. Long as she lives, I'm going to honor my mom. Well, you know who was talking then? Love. Love was getting me to do the Bible. But what I didn't realize is this is the way to freedom. This is the way to victory. This is the way, you know, to joy, peace. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Number one is love. That's proof. And then it brings forth peace and joy. That's why when you get mad and you get angry at somebody, you lose your joy. You're in turmoil. You're just, and it'll wear you, it tries to wear you out. You don't feel good anymore. You don't, you know, that. Why? You're yielding, and you are robbing yourself of peace and joy and long-suffering. Where you used to could stand a long time in a battle. When we're not yielding and walking in love, we'll find that the battles will wear us out where they didn't used to wear us out. Why? Because our faith, our confidence works by that. It works off of that. It's energized by that. I believe that's why Jesus said, you know, the enemy comes and find no place. I mean, why? Because he was walking in love towards God. He was love walking. But he was doing it as a man. I mean, he had the power to call fire down. Peter didn't want him to, man. Just burn them up, Lord, burn them up. I mean, in their natural thinking, because they're thinking, man, they're trying to kill you. And you're God. Just zap them with some lightning, man. And he told them, you don't know what spirit you're of. See, he was walking in love. He could take it. I mean, he was walking in God, hallelujah. And you know what? See, love, when you're walking in love, you know, I mean, just like I told this dude one time, every time I'd say, man, why don't you come on to church? And, why don't you come on to church? And I've did it more than once. And about just about every one of them would tell me later on, they'll say, man, you just wore me out. No matter what I do and all of that, you just don't seem to care. You just want me to come to church. See, what's happening? That's not me. If that's not you. When you're walking in that, you have a long suffering going on, long suffering, wait a long time, and still, you know, you want them to get right with God. You want them to be right with God. You want their family straightened out. You want this and that. Now the enemy comes. He's going to come, and people that serve him, people that yield to the nature of Satan, he will use them. He'll use them to try to get to us, to get to our love wall. You know, the Lord, he told me one time, he said, Satan, he can't get to you. He said, he can't get to you through strangers. He said, but he'll come through the ones you love. If they'll yield to him, he'll come through them. He'll use them. He'll use anybody that will yield. Anybody you care about. And I thought, man, that ain't even fair. I'm just a young Christian back here. I'm thinking, that ain't fair. He's playing dirty. At that time I told Satan, I said, I wish you would manifest yourself, you idiot, where I could get a hold of you, manhandle you. I'd like want to get you. I'm no match for the devil. We're no match for the devil outside in ourselves. But we already got him defeated in love. Right? He's bowing right now. He's saying, I wished he had preached on prosperity tonight. Don't preach on this love stuff. Don't preach on uniting the church. Don't preach on uniting the families. This will unite the families. This will unite the church. This will unite the community. This will unite the state. This will unite the world. This love right here is the most powerful force in us. That is why, you know, that the enemy tries to separate the body. That is why it gets you upset when things get in your way and try to get you not to assemble together, not to go forth and do the work of the kingdom. This love right here drives you to the cross. The cross simply means crucified. Hallelujah. But it says that love is in you. Love is poured out in your heart. You say, well, I don't feel it. Well, are you born again? If you're not born of the Spirit of God, you can go to church all you want to. And somebody can get up and they can preach stuff that will revolutionize and change your life forever, and you won't be able to receive it in here. You can hear it, have knowledge of it, but you won't have the power to utilize it. Because this is not for flesh. This is for the inward man. And God just takes us deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. When we're born again, love come on us, God's love. Natural love, like I said, wears out. I mean, I've had people come to this church, and even before this church. I mean, I've been involved in people's lives, you know, and trying to help them, and they're taking advantage of you, and you know they're taking advantage of you, you know. But you just ain't going to quit. You're going to be like, I'm going to overcome evil with good. Black God. They think they're taking advantage of me, but they're getting the anointing on my life into their life and going to be touched and all of that. See, that's what love does. Love don't keep an account of the evil done to it. It called, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, verse 8, it says, love thinketh no evil. What that means, if you study it out, it says that love don't keep an account of them that's come to church and does this wrong. Just shun them and kick them out. Love won't do that. Love will have mercy and say, one more time, Lord. They'll do it again. I'm telling you, if they do that again, then you're like, well, Lord, you had mercy on me this week. Just take them back in again. Well, Jesus told one of the disciples, he said, how many times do I forgive them, Lord? He said, 70 times 7. Made it almost impossible not to. Well, I done forgive them 69 times, just about it. Well, the day's over. Starts again. Now you got to do 70 times 7 again. See, when we love on purpose, we got to love. We're living in a time where darkness is coming on the planet. Darkness is covering us. But the Bible says arise and shine. We're in a time where we're going to have to on purpose walk in love, on purpose walk in faith, on purpose have diligence, on purpose be persuaded that He's able to do abundantly above. We're going to have to on purpose. And the more that we do it on purpose, we'll start doing it automatic by purpose. Give me that first. Just put that up there, Beth, that 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long. Now look, don't look at this like I don't do none of this, man. And this, don't look at this scripture that way. Look at the scripture, what it is producing in us. Don't look at it in a negative way. Like, boy, I don't do none. Don't look at it. You got to receive it. He's telling us the attributes that will happen in us because of love. Love will cause you to be long-suffering. It'll cause you to be long-suffering. It's kind. It causes me to be kind. When I'm walking in love, I'm not quick, short, and cut them off. But when I'm not yielding to love, I am. I'm short. I'm and people know it. You know, that's not an attribute of love. And you know what? When I'm short like that and I'm quick tempered like that, you know, it makes me miserable. Honestly. It'll cause you not to be happy. It'll cause you not to be joyous. If you're not yielding to love, you'll have to try to figure out why do you feel that way? Why? No, love will keep you energized. Love will keep you in peace and joy, no matter what's coming your way. And some of you may be Christians, you ain't never experienced what I'm saying. But God wants you to. God wants you to. We tell Aubrey, she'll say, so-and-so don't like me in school. And I'll say, well, they just don't know what they're missing, baby. You know, if they just knew what they're missing, they would want to play with you. And they would, what am I doing? I'm getting her. And then I'll tell her, and Teresa will tell her, well, let's just pray for them. See, we're teaching them to walk in love where they'll be happy. Now, if she's doing that, you know, I don't care if she is 7. If she's doing that, then she'll go and she'll see her hips got you all the way to school. I'm going to school. Well, if she's not yielding to it, she's going to go, I don't want to go to school. I don't like school. I don't like school. Well, we got to get them in a little more love. Right? Because love puts us out in the public. Love wants to be out in the public. Love, that's how come, you know, you take some people, they're not very social. They get born again, and before you know it, they're just talking, like Mac. They're just talk, you know. And, you know, then they're, I mean, they start being happy around folk and stuff. What happened? It's love. That love drove Mac out of seclusion. It drove him into a new world. Drove me into all of this. I mean, my life's not private no more. They go by the house. There's where a preacher lives. I'm up in Avril the other day. You that preacher down there, ain't you? I'm like, God, man. I can't even leave Blount County and not be noticed. You know. That's a good thing. Then I drive off and I'm like, I'm known for goodness now. I'm not known for drugs. Me and Teresa would walk in Mom's house. She'd say, y'all been smoking that pot. I'd be like, man, we sucked down a half of Visine. I mean, we got our eyes all clear before we went in. How does she know that? Well, you know, her son changed. And then it wasn't no more. She never told me that again. You know what she wanted me to do? Pray for her. She wanted me to stand with her, agree with her. And I'm like, man, I went from the dark side to the light side. Love brought me in. Love brought you out of the world. Love brought you in to the kingdom that the Bible says cannot be shaken. And this kingdom is when we're rooted in love. Hallelujah. It says, love envies not. Love don't vaunt not, don't brag on itself. It's not arrogant, does not behave itself unruly. I see a lot of unruly. I pulled up to the store down here this morning and I had a gas can and I'm going to get some gas. And so I turned the pump on and I mean it's like one, two, and I'm standing there and I'm thinking, Jesus, this is not the day for this. I'm in a hurry, man. You know, and I mean, I need a jug of gas right quick. I'm in a hurry. I got stuff to do. And here comes a car pulls in. And another dude standing over here, he's like, this stupid pump, hey man, I turned mine on, did that suck yours dry? And I said, no, it was running slow. I'm watching these attitudes. This woman pulls up and had two reindeer ears on her car, you know. She gets out with a red Santa Claus looking cap on or whatever, and she's there and she said, is y'all's pumps over there slow? I said, yeah, it's like waiting on Christmas down here on this end. I said, but I'm determined to get my gas. Like that, and that dude, good God Almighty, these people need to do. I mean, he's, you know, she's over there, you know, and she's, oh, well, I'll just wait. And she's sitting there, you know, and she's happy. I'm pretty content, although I need to hurry, you know. He is just all over himself over here, having a hissy fit all by himself. And so I got my fuel, and I started driving off, and I fixed the rubber window up, and she said, hey, have a good day, Merry Christmas. I guarantee you, that woman knows Jesus. She's in the aisle there. She's in her little reindeer sled. Got her ears sticking out above the car. Looked kind of silly coming down through Bluntville, you know, which pulled in. But she was happy. And I thought, this is a joyous time of the year if you've got that, the love, if you're walking in love as a Christian. The world don't have this that I'm talking about. They don't have it. They have access to it, but you know what? They need to experience it out of me and you. When we're walking in love, we're joyous, although they know we're going through a lot. We got a lot on our plate and all that, but they see us long-suffering. They see us not complaining. They see us not fearful and sad. You know, Mom, it was the Lord did it. She come to me one time, she said, I need you to go down to the lawyer's office. I said, what you need me to go down there for? She said, because I got all the property fixed up. She said, and I'm gonna put it all in your name. I'm just gonna put it in your name. I said, well, now, do you know what you're doing? Well, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I said, well, you know, I said, you got about a bunch more kids. I said, and they're not going to be very happy about that. I said, you're making me look like the guilty one. Well, I'm doing it. That's what I'm going to do. I said, well, okay. I'm getting up to a point here. Okay. She puts it in my name. Wasn't too long. One of my brothers wanting her to co-sign to get a trailer or something, whatever it was. And she comes to me. She called me up. I need you to drop by the house. I dropped by the house. And she said, well, I need you to put that partial yonder back in my name. I said, that's not going to happen. What? I said, I told you that I wouldn't. If you put it in my name now, that's going to stay there. I said, I'm not going to do it. Well, your brother needs a blah, blah. I said, that's exactly why I'm not going to do it. You're not going to mortgage this place up. I'll never mortgage it. I said, that's the way it is. Well, I left out there, and she's not a happy mama, Mac. And I live about, my trailer's about from here to where the foyer starts from her house, maybe a little further. And every morning when I start out to work, she raises the window up before I can get in the truck, and she said, you're a false prophet. She was serious. She's mad at me, Mac. You know, and I'd drive off and it'd try to bother me, you know, and I'd tell the Lord, I'd say, Lord, because I love her, I'm not going to do it, Lord. Not going to mortgage that place up, Lord. Me and Teresa done paid this place off where she mortgaged it to keep her from losing it. We paid it off for her, me and Teresa did. You know, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you did that because you love her. You love her, and I'm going to make sure that she lives out her days without any payments. Well, you know what? That love strengthened me because I was doing it out of love, because I was doing it because I felt like God did it because he loved her. Now I felt like that I was walking out the will of God, and because I was walking in love, it was causing me to absorb that and say, she don't know what she's doing. Kind of like Stephen when he was stoned to death. You know, he told him, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many knows that wasn't, that was not Stephen talking. That was love talking. That was power talking. I mean, he was empowered, man. I don't believe he felt all the pain that a normal man would because he was in the Spirit. He was walking in love. Now, I can't prove that, but I mean, I'm telling you, if somebody hit me in the head with rocks, man, I'll have to be under the anointing to say, forgive them, Lord. Let them go to heaven. They're going to kill me, but that's what he did. I believe that's the power of love. God wants us to experience the deeper power of the love of God. But we got to love on purpose. I know we do, but God wants us to do it more. He wants us to yield more to it. He said, it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own. And you know, that's one thing that I purposed, you know, to prefer others before myself because I've seen it in the Bible. And so I'm all the time, and I do get in trouble sometimes. Told Travis I'm going to buy another scissor lift. Now he don't like me to loan nothing. I mean, the boy ain't going to loan. He'll let me have whatever. But, you know, loaning scissor lifts and tractors. And I mean, he just thinks he don't dig it. Because they'll tear it up, and he'll have to go fix it, and, you know, have to go get it, and all that stuff, different things, you know. And so I told Teresa, I said, well, I said, we're going to do this one big job that I got. I said, this guy's got a scissor lift. I said, and I'm going to tell Travis he's not going to get paid on this job, and we're going to buy that scissor lift together. Teresa said, do you know what's going to happen? And I said, yes, I done thought about it. I said, I won't be able to loan it to nobody ever. And there ain't no need in even asking him. I said, I've already purposed that I know what's going to happen. So I said, so I'm going to have to change. Well, you know, I could be all selfish, couldn't I? I could be all selfish. Well, it don't make no difference what he says. He can buy half of it, and I'm still the boss of that company, and I can do what I want to with it when I want to. See, love won't let you be that way. Love will cause you to compromise, not in a bad way, but it'll cause change to our life, you know. And one of the things that I used to be was totally selfish. I mean, I didn't realize how selfish I was. I got born again, and the very first night I went in to work, I'm milking cows, I went in like 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whatever it was, and the Holy Spirit was on me. And I mean, it looked like that I'd turned the water hose on me. I'd cried for 4 hours, and I'm thinking, man, my boss is fixing to come in here, man, and I mean, he's going to think I'm something going on, you know, down up in here. I couldn't quit crying, but I was happy. I mean, I was happy. The Lord, I was seeing how I'd done people. I could see how I'd done Teresa and my mom and all kinds of things, you know, Doris. And I mean, me and her used to, hated the ground that we walked on, you know, each one, you know, and all that. But I mean, love came in, and love caused scales to come off of my eyes. Love caused scales to come, and because of that, you know, it caused me to realize, you know, that I've been very selfish my whole life. And once I got born again, I purposed. I said, Lord, I'm going to do unto others like Jesus told them, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm going to try to treat people like I would want them to treat me. How many knows that's not you? That is the Holy Spirit leading me and you into a life of liberty and freedom to where anger can't get you anymore. I mean, I used to be real bad, quick-tempered. I hardly ever get mad anymore. I went through, even through with the garage door stuff, but I started thinking about what I was having to go through and how they're making it hard on me and how, you know, that wasn't love. And then once I kind of adjusted and I started not speaking about them and started praying for them, I started speaking what it's going to be for my company and my business. You know what it did? I started all of that heaviness and all of that dread and that worry and that want to quit started leaving. Then for you know it, I'm like, I'm going to expand next year. Whew. That's how love changes us. It transforms us. Hallelujah. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The word thinketh no evil, if you look it up, if you begin to study it, it says it keeps no account of the wrong did to it. It don't keep no account. That's a hard one for sometimes when somebody really does us wrong. You know, to keep an account of that. Well, they did me this way and they did me this way. I've been hurt majorly by people before, big time. Won't get into it because we're all over the world. And the Lord tell me pray for them. And I told the Lord on one incident, I said, I'm not praying for them. I'm not going to pray for them. They took me. They hurt me. You know, it took me. I had to choose. Every time I would see them or go by or something, see, I would think about it. And I would think, they knew. They shouldn't have did that. They hurt my whole family. Blah, 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 you know. And the Lord, pray for them. Pray for them. How many knows that was love talking? And then, you know what? I said, one day I was miserable, Mac. I was miserable. You know, and I thought, man, I'm making myself miserable keeping an account of this. You know, the Bible says that don't keep no account of the wrong done. Now, see, in our own self, we probably can't do it. Some people can. They're that but we're not talking about natural now. We're talking about the supernatural love of God. We're talking about the power. We're talking about the one that created the universe like Johnny was talking about. We're talking about him. He is in us. Well, you know what? I went on in about 5 or 6 months. I realized that one day I was like, hey, I don't feel nothing anymore. I don't feel nothing. I thought, you know what? I chose. I purposed. I loved on purpose. I wanted free, so I had to love. The way to freedom is not hate. The way to freedom is love. The way to freedom is not grudge. The way to freedom is loose. Let them go. Free them. People stole from me. They stole these guitars. That's not the first thing. I mean, you know, I've learned, you know. They stole these guitars, and I mean, a lot of people in church, good God, what's wrong with people going to the church? They don't have a concept of that. They have a concept, guitars in there, man, in the next joint. They're not really saying, God, I'm going to go in your house down there, God, and I'm going to steal everything you got. Lord, you know, Jesus, I got to get high. They're not thinking that. They're yielding to the thing that has them captive. Now, I'm not giving them a right to do it, but I'm just telling you. Well, came in, all that's gone, and so I gave it to them. I went around, put out a $500 reward cash, you know, and I told some of the people that knew, I know they know. These people know who gets stuff around here. They know not to take it to the local pawn shop. Do you know them dope people ain't dumb? They're smart. That's how come they ain't got caught in a long time. They're just using it the wrong way, man. You know? Well, anyways, I went around and I told them, I said, listen, I said, I'm not going to have them locked up or anything. I said, I don't even want the guitars back. I said, I just want to meet that guy or that girl and talk to her. You come into church, what you going to do? You got to go to church. You stole our guitars. We forgive you. That's what I was going to tell them. You took the Lord's guitars now. Now you need to make it up to him. You need to get over there in church. You know? Well, see, that concept does not work in my own thinking. See, love don't make logical sense. God kind of love don't make logical sense. I mean, if we went by logical sense, every one of us wouldn't have made it to Jesus. If we made logical sense, there ain't not one of us in this church deserves anything from the Lord, as far as deserve it. But his love and his mercy extend. How many knows that's the way he wants us to be? But just because we walk in love don't mean we're pushovers. We got an anointing on us. We have an anointing from the Lord, and it causes us to be bold against the enemy, bold against poverty, bold against oppression. I am not going to be oppressed. I am not going to be sad. I'm not. It says, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Go ahead, Beth. Bears all things. Whoo, yeah, man. I thought about Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? Had a dream from the Lord and told it to his brothers and all that stuff. They sold him into slavery. They was going to kill him. They sold him into slavery. He went to prison. And I mean, he stayed in a right spirit. Joseph never got ill at them that you can tell anything about it in the Bible. He delivered them at the end. Joseph delivered him at the end. He even went in and Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sleep with her. And he run out, you know. But you know, I was thinking about him. I thought, Lord, that's what love does. When we walk in love, it empowers us the same way. You was with Joseph. You're in us. You're not just with us. You are in us. Hallelujah. He says, love, he says, bears all things. Believe. Did you know when we're walking in love, faith works right? You walking in love, like God, and you can hear the scripture, give and it shall be, and it'll go boom. Woo, yeah, I got it. I got it, I got it. Glory to God, I got it. And you get somebody right beside you, praise God, they just mean and mad and upset, and they come into church, but they ain't gonna forgive nobody, and they'll be like, what happened to you? And you'll be like, man, you didn't feel that? You didn't feel it? I didn't feel nothing. Susie did me wrong. That's what I did. And I just can't forgive them. That person's receiving revelation from the Lord right beside them. That's walking in love. That's choosing to love on purpose and forgive. The other person over there still sitting in darkness, although they're born again. They're not utilizing the gift that has been placed in their life, the love of God. So it shuts off revelation. Somebody walked up to me the other day and they said, yeah, so-and-so was saying something about you, you know, and you ought to give them whatever a giveaway or something. I don't know. He said, and I told him, he said, you know what? He said, you're talking about the most givingest person I've ever seen on this planet. He said, all you're thinking about is yourself. He said, and this very guy that you're talking about that you think ought to give you more has already given you this and this and this and this. He said, there's nobody. He said, I told him. He said, it kind of upset me. He said, I told them point blank to their face. The Bible says, let another man's mouth praise you, not yourself. Love don't brag on itself. Not looking for that either. Well, He said, I told him, he said, there's nobody on this planet, and I know a bunch of people. He said, I know they are people. He said, but there's nobody that is a bigger giver than that Scotty Weston that you are talking about. Now, back before I got saved, they would say, don't let Scotty Weston drive your truck home. He'll draw all the gas out of it. He'll swap batteries with you. He'll get him a new battery. Boy, I thought of a lot of things. That Satan's smart, man. Satan ain't dumb. You know, don't let him take nothing home, boy. He'll, if the ball joint, his ball joint's better than that, and he'll switch the ball joints on it, man, to get a new one. See, it goes from that testimony to the other testimony in our lives, and we don't even really make it happen. We're just walking with the Lord. We're trusting Him to work things out for us, deal with our issues, change us, transform us. We're not going to get mad anymore. People blow. I mean, I went the other day, and I was just going too slow, and this car sets on its horn behind me like, move on, buddy, move on. I had this thought right quick, get me a Bahama trip. I slam on my brakes and don't slide and you hit me in the Bahama, you better have some good insurance because that's back there, I'm going to the Bahamas. Used to, I would have done it. You know, and I thought, they're just upset back there, man. Hey, I'm in a hurry too, but I'm not getting all uptight, glory to God, hallelujah. I really do it. I do it. I choose not to get upset. I choose not to let them. They pull out in front of me, and my first thought is, are you serious? And then my next one is, cast it down. It don't matter. Let God cast it down. How many knows we love will help you do 2 Corinthians 10. Cast down those imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself, and you'll be able to bring every thought into captivity. Because if you don't, that thought is going to carry you to captivity. Because we live in some Christians say today, well, you know, we just live in a dog-eat-dog world. We got to watch out for our own self. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. We're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and we are to treat others like we would have them treat us. Give me that Matthew 5, Beth, please. I'm happy. Happy, happy, happy. Yeah, I've heard that it's been said, this is Jesus, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. That was under the old covenant back then. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Love them. Love them. Bless them that curse you. That is you can't do that in your own. A lot of times I've done it more than once. I find out somebody's mad at me about something. You know, when I run across them or I'll look them up or I'll call them, I go bust them with $100 bill. You want to slap down anger? Throw out $100 on them. Boy, I mean, they'll go about, oh, man, that bus got here, just bless you. And before that, they're the worst thing on the planet. You know where I got that? From the Apostle Paul. He said, overcome evil with good. Overcome that anger. Bless those that curse you. Pray for your enemies. Bless your enemies. I told you, this love don't make no logical sense. Now, we have to be led. But love will cause you to be led. If you're walking in love, you'll be like, it's time to cut that off. If you're walking in love, don't talk. I was thinking about this scene, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, your word says, and I try to practice it a lot, that a wise man has few words. Because there's a lot of words that I would like to say on this planet. Cause the people and the enemy and our government and all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that I would like to say. But if I'm wise, I won't let those thoughts. The Bible said, Jesus said, take no thought saying. See, a thought can come to you, but it don't have no power until you release it. I mean, you know, I mean, there's times that I think, man, if them people just knew, man, I could jump out. I mean, I might be a little older now and bruise a little easier, but by God, I don't care. You know, I thought it would probably feel good one more time for old time's sake just to get a good knockdown drag out right here in the parking lot. You know? Well, If I ever let that out of my mouth, Satan will come back again and again till he gets me in jail. Then I'll be sitting down there, ling, 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 ling. Hey, jailer, come back here. Where's my phone call? And then the Blount County, and I mean next Wednesday, everybody will go buy one. And it'll have my face behind them bars, man. Pastor, Faithway Christian Center, worldwide ministry, all over the world, preaching love last Wednesday night. And there he is, right there. See, that's what Satan would like to hook us in. He would like to hook us in these things, praise God, that's really not us. You can just yield to that flesh one time. Have a really good reputation about yourself, you know, with everything. And yield one time, that one time, just splat your reputation. Take you a year to get it back. But he said, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. You see how contrary this is to the world? This is absolutely contrary to the world. Get them before they get you. I've heard Christians say, I'm going to get them before they get me. And I come back and say, and it makes them mad a little bit, Mac. I'll say, well, that's not what the Bible says. It says, do unto them as you would have them do unto you. You know? You're gonna get them before they get you. That's not scriptural for a Christian. No greater friend than a man laid down his life for his friends. No greater love than a man laid down his life for his friends. And you know what? We do have to do a lot of sacrificing. But you know what? The rewards of the sacrifice of walking in love are way greater than what money can get you. Or what people can give you, the confidence you have in God, the confidence you have against the enemy. You might be going through some trouble right now. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Lean on that love. God loves me just like he loved Jesus. God will not forsake me. God will not let me down. And you know what? When we're walking in love, Satan can't touch our kids. I remember back when Travis was at school, and here I am with this love stuff, you know, and he's kind of being bullied a little bit, you know, and boy, I mean, that tearing my heart up, boy. I'm thinking I'll go over and see his daddy, and when his daddy wakes up, bless God, he'll calm that kid down on that bus. I can't go do it to the kid because I'll go to jail, but I can get on his daddy. You know, I'm thinking these thoughts. I'm thinking, man, I'm a Weston. What do you think, man, Satan? You know. And the Lord told me, he said, teach him to walk in love. Teach him. That was hard, Mac. I wanted to get him in there, say, okay, son, try to bust me. Come on, I'm gonna teach him, Mac, how to fight, man. I would have taught him, if anybody gives you any lip on that butt, black God, I wasn't fast enough to do it. I tried to bust a bunch of them, and I got up out from under the seat because they was too fast for me. I mean, they'd bust me, and I'd be under the bus seat, you know, and I'd get back up and try to get them again, and they'd bust me, and I'd be under the bus seat, you know. And then the bus driver come on. He got killed in the track. He come on there, and he said, hey, Weston, sit down. I said, shut up, old man. I said, you get to smoke your cigarettes up there, and I would like to have one. Done asked you four times, and you won't give me one of them Camels with no filters. That's what my daddy smoked. So don't tell me to sit down. You sit down, old man. We're busy. He sat down up there, and I thought, old bus driver sitting down. Shut up. Well, I started to run again and hit him, and boom, he hit me and knocked me back down. About that time, here come my big brother, Glenn. He come up through there, and he looked, and he seen caught that. And I mean, he looked at him, and I thought, it's on now, baby. He went back there, and he nailed him. Boy, I mean, got on top. Boom, 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 boom. He said, you ever touch my little brother again? He said, you won't be able to get off this bus. I said, yeah. Got it. And then I got up there, boy, I come on the bus. Anybody want to have a Glenn a beer in a minute? Come on. I'm on. How many knows that's the way Jesus does us? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. He comes on the scene and he is our protector. He's our shield. He is our buckler, hallelujah. He's everything. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is love. And if we walk in love, I'm telling you. Give me the Romans 12, we'll quit. I forgot we didn't do praise and worship. I was going to go to 15 after. Kind of hooked on that. Monty then wants more time, Nate. They already go 3.5 minutes over every time. I'm walking in love, guys. If it be possible. He didn't say it's possible. He said, but if it be possible, as much as lies within you, your ability, what ability you have, he says, live peaceably with all men, saved or not saved. He said, everything that you can do, do that. And when we choose to do that, we're choosing to walk in love. And then he empowers us. And the Bible says, when our ways please the Lord, he will make even our enemies be at peace. He'll cause Satan to bless us. He'll cause the blessing to work. Satan will try something against us and it'll work out and bless us. Hallelujah. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. In other words, don't defend yourself. Come in one time somebody had accused me of, I don't forgot who it was now, being with a girl or something. You know. They had sent word or something. I told Teresa, I said, get ready. She said, where are we going? I said, we're going over there. I said, I've been accused of something. I said, and I'm going to set the record clear. I'm going to set it straight. She said, well, did you do it? And I said, well, you know I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. She said, then don't try to defend yourself. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Well, you know what? That's what Satan wanted. He wanted me to go out. He wanted me to get caught up in the lie, get caught up in it, get all caught up in it, and I never heard anything else about it. Praise God. I ain't committed adultery since I've been born again. Not planning on it. Ever. I've been redeemed. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Love won't let me. Love won't let me do that. I mean, you know, I've thought before I'd like to divorce her and blah, blah. You know, you go through times and different things, you know. And I thought I will never hurt her. No deeper than divorce her first before I mess with anybody if I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Right? Church ought to have that thinking. If you just go and get a divorce, don't go get you no woman or no man. Get it right. Go get you a divorce. Get okay with you and the Lord. And then have at it. Right? Y'all quiet. Well, that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. Feed him. You want to make yourself feel better? Bless your enemy. Pray for your enemy. It's not for them, it's for you. It'll set you free. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his forehead. Bradley was preaching one night, and I'm going to close with that. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and he said, and this is about the time the Lord was dealing with me about love your enemies, and I'm struggling with it, Mac. I mean, I'm really, really struggling, honestly, man. I mean, you know, I'm thinking, man, I didn't sign up for this, man, you know. Love these people, man, that's done me wrong. But anyhow, he stopped all of a sudden. He said, oh, yeah, I want to show y'all scripture. He didn't even know why he's doing it. He turned over to that one right there. And he said, if you therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, he said, you'll heap coals of fire. I thought, that's what I want. Fire on their forehead. Now, I wasn't quite right then, Mac. But I thought, that Bible says it. By God, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I want them to get on fire, you know. Coals on their forehead. Burn up a little bit, you know. But you know what? I started doing that. And you know what? Before you know it, I didn't want fire. I wanted them to get saved. Why? Because that was love talking, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Love on purpose. Love the ones that are not, I mean, just in your family. Love them. Love them that gets on your never-living nerve. Love them. I know there's, in every family, there's somebody that gets on our ever-living nerves. But you know what? Practice on them. Use it as a wet rock. I mean, your knife gets dull, what do? Stupid knife, throw it in the garbage. No, you get the wet rock out and you put it, I mean, you put some pressure on it and you sharpen it, hallelujah. Well, that's the way we do when we don't, doing good to others like that we really don't really care for. We're like sharpening that knife. We're sharpening ourselves. We're getting sharper, hallelujah, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, love on purpose. And you know what? I don't know what all of you's facing, but you know what? The Holy Spirit, whether it's in school, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, wherever it's at, whether it's in ministry, you're going to have opportunity to on purpose walk in love. You'll have the opportunity because that's what develops us. Let us pray. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you.